Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you as we begin another important day in your life, in my life, in Oregon's life. So let me ask you a question. Is it time for open Oregon protests? Is it time? Is it time we, well, like they're supposedly going to do in Michigan today, about 15,000 cars and trucks. Maybe they took a little note from our Timber Unity rallies. Apparently 15,000 cars and trucks are going to descend on Michigan's state capital in Lansing today to protest Governor Gretchen Whitmer's tyrannical new guidelines
to slow the spread, to flatten the curve.
Terms we've all become pretty familiar with. Is it time we did this in Oregon? What do you think? Now, Kate laid out yesterday, she sort of, maybe laid out some conditions for reopening Oregon. So I said in the show plan today, and you'll see this when we get the podcast up, folks, it's just a head fake. You know why? Because I think what's happening in Michigan and what happened in North Carolina, I think Kate's a little afraid of that. She's afraid to make a mistake. Now, why? Why would Kate be afraid to make a mistake? I mean, she's a lame duck governor, right? I mean, you know, she can't do a whole lot. Except she can. She can do a lot. She can do an awful lot. You see, Kate has designs at, I think, becoming the vice presidential nominee of Joe Biden. Now, why do I say that? Well, you've heard me say it before. I think it had to do with the ventilator story, right? Given to New York, nobody asked. She just did it. But I think it also is an indicator of this, is her, well, her refusal to go after Trump yesterday when goaded by reporters in her conference. I mean, yeah, she finally came out of hiding, or as my friend says, she probably came out of rehab. I don't know if that's true, but at any rate, she finally came out of hiding to hold a news conference yesterday. I think she refused to go after Trump. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that Kate is planning to do something down the road when she's no longer governor of Oregon. Or it tells you she intends to be seriously considered by Joe Biden as his running mate. Also, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have an interview with Patrick Gleason. He's one of the analysts at Americans for Tax Reform. That's Grover Norquist's group. Patrick comes to Oregon also. Well, he has written a Forbes magazine article that went live yesterday. And it's about Oregon. And it is about all of these taxes that Kate Brown and the liberals, the regressive totalitarian Marxists, have rammed down our throats in Oregon, and the likely impact based on what? Based on analysis of how these taxes work. Now, let me say something about all of this, because this is going to be profoundly impactful. In Oregon, when we are about to find out how bad it really is, how bad it's going to be, the shutdown of our economy. Now, we needed to do something. There's no question about it. But did we need to go as far as we did? Now, if you listen to my buddy Lars, he says absolutely. He's hit Kate hard for not doing it sooner. Well, I just would remind everybody, including my friend Lars, about this fact. Sweden has not, as we articulated last week, has not experienced the incredible economic devastation that we have. or that Oregon has, and the eight other states in America that have not adopted the restrictive stay-at-home policies, and some of the business policies have also not seen the economic downturn, and they have not seen their cases spike. Certainly not any, no different than their neighboring states who did adopt the stay-at-home policies. So the postmortem, as I talked about yesterday, is going to be profound. As we sit back and we analyze the things that we think and hear and read that impact our thinking about all of our response to COVID-19 and its impact in America, impact in your life. That's why I started the show saying that. Because ultimately, as you know, the goal of this show is to help give you, well, insights or pose interesting questions to you, or just give you tips about how you can influence your world. Because that, my friends, is the single most important thing you can do, period, is to influence your world. Speaking of somebody who influences all of us, is our friend Art. We're going to bring him on the line right now. Art, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, Kate did a fantastic job yesterday, huh? But what a lack of leadership. I mean, okay, I it's just unbelievable. What I wanted to talk about is there was no encouragement about the positive things that are happening. No mention about hydroxychloroquine or zinc, which has proven to combat the virus very effectively. Vitamin C has also been a real game changer in these people who are in a critical situation. You know, it's just incredible. I do want to say that she wants us to be more dependent on them, and therefore she is not, you know, really implementing things where we could get our people back to work. Now, about her running for president, I mean, vice president, that ain't going to happen. Biden's going to.
Why don't you think it? Why don't you think it'll happen?
Well, because they're considering Kamala Harris from California, and who is it? Amy Klobuchar, that's from Minnesota, which would help Biden maybe win the election, although I don't think he has a tinker's chance. Yeah, if you know what I mean. But Kate doesn't have enough to give the party. You know, Oregon and our few little votes mean nothing in the election. And so she's not going to be considered. Now, does she have other aspirations? Of course she does. However, her lack of good performance as a governor, I think, is going to haunt her for the rest of her political career. And I'll let you go on that account.
All right. I couldn't agree with you more. Art, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Art called in on 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, and you can do it too. 503-589-1220. What did you think of Kate's press conference yesterday, non-reopening message? You know, she laid out some things that she said had to happen, otherwise she wouldn't reopen. One of them, it's fascinating if you read the story, and this was an East Oregonian story, and it was what they said was fascinating. One of the five things is having PPE. Okay? The other thing is modeling and data. And the thing that scares me the most is the tracking, right? How are they going to do that? Are they going to try to put in place some kind of a data tracking off of your smartphone? Well, all of that's easy. But the thing that worries me the most, there's two things. The third paragraph from the bottom of this East Oregonian story, and you can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com, the third paragraph is this. The state does not know how much PPE is needed, including having sufficient gear for physicians and dentists to resume elective surgeries and other procedures or potentially protect employees in personal service jobs. So one of her criteria is having enough PPE, but the state doesn't know how much is needed. Welcome to Oregon, folks. This is the incompetence of Kate Brown. And it's another reason why maybe Art is right, why she wouldn't be chosen. I mean, you think about it. She's the governor of a left coast state. Democrats already know that Biden's going to win in Oregon, California, Kamala Harris. Yeah, maybe not, because they already know. Typically, you get a running mate. You choose a running mate, rather, on the presidential side, that is someone who has the ability to help you bring a needed state. I would say maybe more like the gal in Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer. Oops. I mean, she's pretty. She's, you know, an up-and-comer, right? Except that there's a little problem there. It's the 15,000 cars and trucks that are going to be descending on Lansing today because she has gone so far in her social distancing edict that it really does impact families in their homes. And she doesn't care. This woman, I think, has just shot herself in the foot. So who does that leave? Does it leave any other progressive women in states that Joe Biden needs to win? Michigan's kind of a swing state. Trump won it last time, right? What are the other states? Well, maybe Amy Klobuchar, but last time, you know, that went to Biden, or that went to Hillary. I think he could be right. But doesn't mean, you know, Art's onto something. It doesn't mean that Kate isn't aiming for something down the road, because you know she is, folks. You know it as well as I know it. Now, again, if you want to keep yourself safe from COVID-19 and other stuff, use CBD. Buy prop-bioscience.com. CBD. Use the code, the checkout code. The discount code for 15% discount called Spring. Use the word go-bioscience.com. Back in a moment. No, that's not poverty. Hating believers and light on their faces.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back 22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Brian. Look, friends, you know, these stimulus checks, rescue checks is probably a better way to characterize it, are going out. If you get direct deposit, they're going to start showing up in your bank accounts. So check your bank accounts. That's all a good thing, right? But what about your Oregon stimulus check? Well, you don't get a check from Oregon. The Democrats figured out a way around that. There's a great article about your stimulus check, or your stimulus refund, I should say. It's on Oregon Catalyst. It's averaging $739 per taxpayer. Now, just depending on your tax bracket, it could be more, it could be less. But remember, you've got your tax preparer or yourself. You cannot forget to put it into your tax filing because it is a tax credit. It comes off the bill that you owe the state of Oregon. Now, if you don't owe the state of Oregon anything, you still get it back. They actually will have to send you a check at that point. Don't forget about it. In fact, there's a great the Taxpayer Association of Oregon has this article. And it says that during the economic slowdown, he sent out these, this is my friend Jason Williams, sent out these postcards about the kicker refund. And he got a note back from a couple who moved from Michigan, hadn't even heard about it, didn't even know about it. And they would have missed it had he not sent out the card. So, folks, don't forget. I mean, it's a bunch of money. You add that to what you're getting from the state. It's a good reason for you to seriously think about spending it with some of our great advertisers. These are small businesses. They need you. You need them. Like Diamond Royalty Rides, renting a limousine. Go take your family out. Go enjoy the beautiful spring weather. DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Surprisingly affordable. Help them be there when you need them again for that special occasion. Make somebody feel special. Diamond Royalty Rides. Let's go. We'll start first with Brian, and then we'll move to Dwight. Brian, good morning. What do you have to say today? Do we need an open Oregon Jeff, protest?
Hey, Jeff. I watched Kate's little performance yesterday, and it's so vague as to when if things can start up again. She left the door open to, you know, by saying it'll take a long time for us to get all these five things in place. You know, no way to quantify it. And it's like watching a socialist takedown of America without even firing a shot. It's, you know, kind of disgusting. In regards to your response to the man who said you're too hard on China, from a beekeeper's position, a while back, the Chinese were flooding our market with honey for 30 cents a pound. Plus, they got banned. They got caught twice because of an antibiotic they were using in their industry that could be fatal at times to some people. And so the way they get around it, they ship it into Mexico or Vietnam or Malaysia and relabel it and, you know, send it to America. And they even microfilter all the pollen out of their honey to the point where you can't trace where it comes from. So they're not our friends, never have been. Also, in regards to the Chinese and to the Clintons, when my brother was in charge of the research on the Sparrow and ARAM missiles for the military, the Clintons sold the hardened microchip technology to the Chinese. They transferred it from the Defense Department to the Commerce Department and then sold it to the Chinese. So, hey, a little bit of Chinese collusion there. So.
Nah, never from the Clintons. Thanks, Brian. That was Loral Corporation, by the way. Got to let you go because I need to move on to Dwight. Dwight, good morning. What do you have to say?
I just want to make a comment. Number one, I think we need to have another 15,000 car and truck protest. Number two, as far as Kate's press conference yesterday, the one thing I was disappointed about is who's going to open all these businesses? It's the small business owners who are going to have to invest capital into their businesses. Right now, they are making a decision either to reopen or possibly it's better just to close it down. So these are the allies that Kate's going to need. And she didn't address any small business owners yesterday, and these are the people that are going to do the grunt work to get these businesses back open again.
You're right about that. Do you think it's because she has no real understanding of what a small business is?
She's never owned a small business. That's the problem with these state government people. They don't know what business is all about. all they weigh is the political ramifications. Is it going to benefit me? And that's exactly the way Kate operates.
Yeah, you're right about that. Dwight, thank you. I appreciate you sharing those thoughts with me because, I mean, you're 100% right on. Small business, not a word about small businesses.
No. No.
You know, it just should have been one of the first things that rolls off her tongue, except
exactly.
She relies on Nike, big business. She relies on Intel to keep feeding her money. I mean, after all, she's been part and parcel to giving them all of these special exemptions in the tax code because they're not subject to cat tax.
Have a great day, Jeff.
Thank you, Dwight. And when we come back from the bottom of the hour here, by the way, we'll be interviewing Patrick Gleason of Americans for Tax Reform. That's Grover Norquist's shop out of D.C. He's going to be joining us to talk about this Forbes magazine article that does talk about the new tax increases in Oregon, its potential impact on us. Can you imagine how bad it would be if Republicans hadn't walked out in the last two sessions to stop cap and tax, added on top of the new sales tax, which for the first time ever is going to be paid on the 20th of this month in five more days? Businesses that are shut down today, businesses that are starting to operate at a loss because of the COVID-19 problem, they're still going to have to pay this new tax increase. And some of them are small businesses. Our interview with Patrick is when we come back at 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, one of the things that I tend to do is I mute my mic during the bottom of the hour, and I just sometimes forget to turn it back on. Anyway, we're back. Great to have you with us, friends. Here's what we're talking about. Is it time for an open Oregon protest? Sort of like they're going to have in Michigan today. Where Fox News is reporting that because of the tyrannical ideas of their governor there, Gretchen Whitmer, about 15,000 cars and trucks are supposedly descending on the capital of Lansing, Michigan today to make a point. Now, this is what we have done twice with Timber Unity, and it's gridlock, and it's impossible to ignore. Is it time we did something like that now in Oregon? Maybe so. All right. Let's get right to our interview with Patrick Gleason. Patrick, good morning. How the heck are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Jeff?
Well, if I can remember to turn my mic on, I'm generally okay. It's beautiful spring weather out here in Oregon. I know you get out here from time to time to join us at our Taxpayer Coalition meeting. You wrote an article in Forbes, and it is, folks, you can find it. If you go to Forbes.com, and it's called Economic Downturn Comes on the Heels of One Western State's Multi-Year Tax and Regulatory Onslaught. Why don't you lay out the premise of your article here for our audience?
Yeah, sure. Happy to, Jeff. Well, my organization that I work for, Americans for Tax Reform, we've been around since 85, and over those several decades, we've been busy working on tax and budget legislation and issues in all 50 state capitals, including and also the federal capital in D.C. And, you know, looking at around the country over the past year, 2 years, leading up into this historic economic downturn driven by the pandemic, looking at all the country, all the 50 states, we've noticed arguably no other state and arguably no other state did politicians, namely your governor, Kate Brown, and Democratic-run legislature, and arguably no other state was more harm done to taxpayers, both individual taxpayers, individuals and families, and also employers, businesses. We saw no state do as much harm as Oregon politicians did in the months and years leading up to this now pandemic-driven downturn. And the two things that stand out there, really, Jeff, are the gross receipts tax, which is going to hit employers. It's going to reduce their job-creating capacity. And only six states total have, for good reason, because it's such a damaging tax that can even saddle businesses that are fail to turn a profit, can even hurt unprofitable businesses with a sizable tax bill. Anyways, that was the first big hit last spring, just went into effect January 1st. A lot of businesses, it's still unclear to them how they even administer the tax. A lot of confusion there. That was damaging enough. But then Governor Brown followed up with her cap, her carbon cap, which is going to have the same effect as a massive regressive tax hike, the same effect that the cap and trade legislation that failed for the past 2 years would have had, disproportionately harming low and middle income households. And so we've seen those are just the two big things. There's been other things, but just a succession of body blows to the Oregon economy, to Oregon job creators, and to households. And you know, it's an interesting trend. These two effectively massive tax increases were enacted despite the Democratic impediments. So you had the gross receipts tax. Voters rejected that, you know, a couple of years ago. Well, Governor Brown and legislators said, to heck with voters' opinion, we're going to ram that through anyways, even though the public just spoke and rejected that a couple of years ago. So they passed that last year. It takes effect this year. Then the cap and trade, even though Kate Brown can't get that through her Democrat-run legislature, she said, to heck with elected officials, I'm going to do it by executive fiat. So that's what's been going on. Those are the two big things that stand out. And really, it's a shame because we have not seen any other state do as much harm as Oregon politicians have done to taxpayers and businesses across that great state that I love so much.
One of the things that you note in the article that I find interesting is that other states have enacted these gross receipts tax. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most of them had created an exemption on the income tax side for corporations to lessen the blow. We didn't do that here.
Yeah, so there's only one other. So of the six states total, Oregon being one now, the gross receipts tax, again, that will hit businesses that even fail to turn a profit in a given year. Only six states have that. Oregon is only one of those two six states that also levies a traditional corporate tax on businesses on top of that. So in Oregon, it's 7.6% in Oregon, the traditional corporate tax. This gross receipts tax, again, which is irrespective of whether a business is profitable or not, businesses can still face a gross receipts tax bill even when they lose money, which many businesses are going to this year, unfortunately, very sadly. So, and that tax, that egregious gross receipts tax, comes on top of the 7.6% traditional corporate tax. So in addition to having this really bad, misguided tax that frankly it's reviled by economists across the political spectrum from the far left to the right for many of the reasons I just mentioned. And so, but unlike the few other states that impose that egregious misguided tax, unlike those states, Oregon then levies that additional traditional corporate tax on top of it. So it's a real shame, and it's going to cause real harm, and it couldn't have come at a worse time. Obviously, no one could have predicted what 2020 was to bring, but, you know, in terms of which states hurt businesses and individual taxpayers in the lead up to this, the gross receipts tax passed in Oregon, followed by the effective regressive tax hike that is Governor Brown's carbon cap, were really a 1-2 punch that no state matched. No harm compares to what was done by those anywhere else in the country.
So a coalition of industry groups sent a letter to the governor. One of them was one of the groups that got bought off by the governor because they were neutral in the battle. As the state's largest industry group got bought off by the governor because she carved out exemptions for some of their biggest members. Mm-hmm. So they were neutral on this thing when it was passed. Okay. Now that same group and others sent this letter to the governor saying she needs to delay the implementation of this. Well, they would have to do that in a special session of the legislature. She's not going to hold a special session of the legislature, Patrick. We're hearing until sometime after the May 19th primary election and the next budget forecast, which is going to be horrible, hits us the first part of May. So what she's done is she has effectively said, no, we're going to collect the money anyway, which is supposed to go to schools, right, Patrick? Well, here's my prediction to you, and I want you to watch this. The economic devastation is going to be so bad, she's going to say, and the legislature will have to agree with her in a special session, well, we collected the money, which is due in 5 days, by the way, April 20th. On the cat tax. We collected the money, but we can't give it to the schools solely. We're going to have to put it in the black hole of the general fund because it is so bad. You wait.
Wow.
That's what she's going to do. Now, how much more worse would it have been if Republicans had not walked out of the legislature in 2019, shutting down the cap and trade bill, if they hadn't walked out in the legislature back then, and they just did it again in February, cap and trade would be in effect today. In your analysis, how much worse would Oregon, the hit to Oregon, have been if cap and trade was in effect in addition to the cat tax?
Yeah, well, it is a good thing that Republicans were able to stop cap and trade legislation over the past 2 years, because had it gone into effect already, Oregonians going through this unprecedented historic economic downturn and the tough times that has brought would then be forced to cope with inflated energy costs. And that includes gas prices would be inflated by cap and trade, but not just gas prices, utility bills would. And this is not theoretical. This is by design. In fact, the supporters of cap and trade, more accurately dubbed by many cap and tax, because it acts as a regressive tax in the form of inflated utility bills, inflated gas prices. But that would be the reality. And it's not theoretical. We only need to look next door at your neighbor to the south, California, which is the only state in the U.S. currently with a cap and trade program like the one sought under the legislation that failed for the past 2 years. And in California, no coincidence, the average price of gas across California is a dollar higher than the average price of gas nationally. Again, this is by design. Cap and trade, this is not it's a feature, not a bug of cap and trade, that it leads to higher energy prices, because that's what cap and tax proponents want. They want that, and it doesn't account for it. That might be okay for people that take subways to and from their office and to and from an apartment building here and there, but that doesn't work. That's not how most Oregonians live, you and I know. So it's going, if Republicans had not stopped that last year and this year, in the middle of this tragic economic downturn that has cost millions of jobs and is putting people through really tough times, on top of all that, Oregonians would be having to face higher energy bills, utility bills, higher prices at the pump. So thankfully, Republicans were able to stop that the last 2 years, and I hope there's still a way, some way to claw back and undo the damage that will eventually be done by the carbon cap instituted by the governor by executive fiat, right in the same week she announced the pandemic-related statewide emergency.
Yeah, it's likely that a number of business groups are going to be filing several lawsuits based on what they actually see come out of the policies of these agencies. And it's just going to be tied up in court for a long time. Very quickly, how can our listeners get in touch with you and read your writings?
Yeah, we'll go to ATR.org. That's Americans for Tax Reform's website. And if you go to Forbes.com and we put Gleason, G-L-E-A-S-O-N, in the search bar, you'll get to my page where all my columns are. And I encourage folks to check out ATR.org/rules. That's where we're keeping the comprehensive list of all the deregulatory actions being taken by state and federal officials in response to the pandemic.
Thanks, Patrick. Patrick Gleason, ATR, back in a moment at 6:48. Stop the car. We got 'em.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. And yes, I remembered to turn my microphone back on this time. In a moment, we're going to chat with Ron and Glenn. Look, friends, because you get the kicker refund, make sure when you do your taxes that your tax preparer or yourself don't forget about it. Because it's a lot of money. It's maybe $700 or more, depending on what your tax bracket is. But also your stimulus check. You know, all that free money from heaven, from the federal government, right, which is borrowed. Anyway, that's all coming to you, direct deposit, or some of us are going to, who don't have direct deposit, are going to get a check in the mail someday, somewhere. When that happens, seriously, why don't you think about spending it to make your life better? Like, maybe doing that, you know, fixing that deck. Seriously. You know, the weather's getting good. It's time to start barbecuing. It's going to be a great summer, great spring. Check out Righteous Renovations. That's Eric Azor's company, righteousrenovations.com. Check out all the great satisfied customers and what he can do maybe for you. righteousrenovations.com. Another one of our great advertisers right here in the Salem area, right here on KSLM, that needs your support. righteousrenovations.com. Let's go to Ron. Ron, good morning. What do you guys say today?
Oh, I'm just saying that everything my brother from American Tax Reform said is true. It's killing California even worse. You think the homeless situation's gotten bad? The food bank situation got bad on this situation? It's multiplied by tenfold from Oregon's because of cap and trade. You got, I mean, you got trucks that barely want to drive through that state, to that state. You have a situation, people that, Jay Brown doesn't give a care about us right now because, she wants to appease the Nikes, the Soroses, the Bloombergs. And I don't care what anybody said, she is still going to try to ramrod that cap and trade every time she gets an opportunity. And the situation, she tell me she can't release 40% of the economy in this state, minimum, even with safety precautions, and then she wants to mandate that everybody get tests. Where's my constitutional rights? Where's representation? Where is the reasons? People need to realize the right of assembly is being affected by the situation for the campaigns. The right of assembly to our churches. The right of assembly to even play basketball, to stay healthy. You know, we want to keep our people healthy. It's being infringed upon by these policies. And we're in the lowest states, 1%. And you know, how come they never printed out the numbers of people tested and divided against numbers of deaths? They don't want to do that because it's less than a million of a percent. It's called about control.
It is. Everyone needs to come back. That's exactly what it is.
That's all I got to say, bro.
Thank you, brother.
Stand up.
Yeah, absolutely. Stand up. It's time for an open Oregon protest, folks. You know, this protest they're having in Michigan today. 15,000 cars. I mean, there's been like almost 300,000 people sign up on this Facebook page. Seriously. Because people are so angry at how far the government went. Now, that's a good thing because it's waking people up. It's a good opportunity for us to have discussions with our people in our circle of influence about liberty, about tyranny, about common sense. Don't you think? Let's go to Glenn, who's on the line. Glenn, good morning. What do you say?
Yes, Jeff. We need to talk to Scott and get ours all cranked up. I'm ready to start flowing. I've been to all of them before, and I would definitely be on board for this one. But a question, are the Intel fabs working in this so-called time of we need your business to run? Are they pumping out the money for the Capitol building with their special grocery receipts exemption?
No, they're not. They pay a little bit of tax in Oregon. But most the reason that Nike and Intel and companies like that that export most of their product don't pay the gross receipts tax, they do pay income tax, but they don't pay the gross receipts tax because the stuff they produce here gets sold out of state. It's exempt.
Okay, so I understand that the Rolliner Acres part of that fab is working, but not the not the others, not Hawthorne Farms and others. Do you have any information on that?
No, I don't. I haven't heard that exactly what's been shut down and what hasn't. But, you know, look, I would think that Intel's business would be considered to be essential. I mean, if Kate Brown is calling abortion clinics essential, if Kate Brown is calling head shops or your pot shops essential and liquor stores essential, but churches aren't, I would think that Intel would be, given that it makes these components for computers.
Well, there's an awful lot of money coming out of those buildings. That's the money running the that's the cash running the state.
Right, right, because it's keeping people employed, and those people are paying taxes into the state of Oregon. That's exactly right. Glenn, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. Got an email from Rich about Gruesome Newsom. This is the governor of California. Some things to ponder. Gruesome Newsom, 6 goals. If you've read them, you will call them generalized Barbara Streisand BS. I'm sure Oregon and Washington State have the same generalized BS. It's hard to believe these goals were even stated. Dr. Fauci, number 2, he writes, stated that warm weather will help the shutdown of the virus. So why are the enviros afraid to embrace global warming? Look at the people that be saved by it. Laugh out loud. Number 3, we should have never shut down to this level unless you wanted to destroy the economy, as you know. Number 4, this has been a media-hyped con job. Not to say it isn't bad, but it's very overhyped. Number 5, to get us back to work faster, stop paying all city, county, and state politicians, their staff, and all employees. Since everyone else is at stay-at-home order, why not? They can work without pay. Yes, it's drastic. But so is the shutdown to this level. Sweden, as of yesterday, had 11,927 people infected, 1,203 deaths, as per John Hopkins' graph. That's his point. We did not need to shut down our economy. Friends, if you do want to keep your home safe, you really need to check out Freedom Heating and Air. FreedomHeatingandAir.net is their website. They can put in the filtration systems, especially that UV light filtration system. It works, friends. And not just for COVID-19, but all kinds of other stuff that gets floating around in your house. Pet dander and bacteria, whatever. There's a story I saw today that now you can get COVID-19 maybe from dogs. What? Man's best friend. Keep your home safe. FreedomHeatingandAir.net. They can help you. Why don't you give them a checkout? Art, who had called earlier, said we need a coordinated call for the protest. I agree. Look, I think what's happening in Michigan is one of the reasons that Kate's being careful here. You know, her non-press conference yesterday didn't tell us much of anything. In fact, if you read that East Oregonian article, it lays out things that are almost impossible or so nebulous to achieve. You don't know when she's going to allow the state to open up. That's why you got to keep praying for Kate. Everybody else. Be blessed, friends. Get out there. Believe we can make a difference. Maybe it's time for an Open Oregon protest. See you tomorrow.